Welcome to Healthcare Aptitude, where healthcare's thought leaders will examine ways to address the rising costs of care in America. We'll also examine how the latest advances in mobile apps are helping hospitals and health systems bend the cost curve and improve patient engagement.
Welcome to Healthcare Aptitude. I'm Dave Sawin, the CMO at Mobilesmith Health. I'll be your host today. I get to work with some of the greatest hospital systems in the country to craft their digital health strategies centered around patient-facing mobile apps. Today, we're going to talk to one of them, Luke Popish at South Shore Hospital. Before we get started, I'd like to say that if you want to learn more from Luke, he'll be sharing his aptitude in a session at HIMSS in Orlando on Wednesday, March 11th at 10 a.m. in session room W304A. It's entitled, Mobile App Drives HCAHPS Growth Through Patient Care Mapping. Let's begin. Well, I'd like to introduce our guest today. We're going to talk to Luke Popish, and he's the Vice President of Operational Excellence at South Shore Health in Boston. Welcome, Luke.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, David.
Tell me a little bit about who you are and what your role is at South Shore Health.
Sure, yeah. So as the Vice President of Operational Excellence, my primary role is to try to connect all the various parts of our system together so that we have one unified system working in concert to be able to make sure patients get the right care in the right place, you know, for the right cost is kind of our idea. We started out as an acute care facility just south of Boston. So geographically, we're about 11 to 13 miles south of the main city of Boston in a town called Weymouth. That mileage proximity doesn't always translate into actual time to get from one area to the other. So what you find is over time, due to traveling difficulties going into the city, we've ended up capturing a lot of the population and providing a lot of care all across southeastern Massachusetts because it is much easier and more convenient for a lot of the people in our area and our communities to come to see us instead of taking that extra trip and time, which can be anywhere from an hour to 2 to 3 hours, depending on the time of day and the day of the week. And so we were a fledgling community hospital for a long time, and we've recently become, or trying to become, a full-on health system with primary care, urgent care, our own ambulance service, et cetera. That we're a 393-bed acute care facility, so we are really large for a quote-unquote community hospital. And we do about 120,000 ED visits per year. And my first role here was around performance improvement. I went into service line direction for OBGYN, which is a lot of what we'll be covering today. And then I'm now obviously doing a more system-wide approach to overall operations.
So you mentioned that your second role was really around the OBGYN service line. Tell me a little bit about that service line and how it operates at South Shore Hospital.
Sure, yeah. So we do, or we have done in the past, anywhere between 3,000 to 3,400 deliveries per year. So again, when you talk about the volume for us versus other community hospitals in our area, that's a significantly larger number. What that translates into for us, though, is also a lot of customers that we're trying to make sure have the best experience, and also a lot of expectant moms and families who we want to have a unified experience and a cohesive experience. The way we're structured is we have OBGYN offices kind of across southeastern Massachusetts who do all of their deliveries at our hospital. And even though they do all of their deliveries here, they aren't part of our health system. So the challenge has obviously become, we had five independent practices at one point. We now have three independent practices and one OBGYN practice that is actually integrated into our system. What you have in that scenario is a variety of cultures and experiences depending on which OBGYN each of our expectant moms goes to see. And that can create a varied experience based on where they get their care and how the messaging is handled at each individual office. Based on the structure that we have at South Shore Health, and what I just mentioned about the various cultures in the offices, was we found ourselves in a scenario of receiving a lot of feedback from the community that there was confusion or lack of communication or miscommunication about what to expect when they would arrive in labor or in what they thought was labor at our hospital. So we were heavily relying on four different subcultures of physicians, nurses, et cetera, to really try to provide one cohesive and common experience for all of those moms. And so when you're trying to reach 3,000 to 3,400 people a year, it becomes a challenge when you have messaging that isn't consistent and common across all of the locations that those moms may interact with.
I was going to say, so that seems like that would cause a problem with the hospital measurements.
When you look at our HCAHPS scores, which are the primary, we use Press Ganey to obtain those scores, but that's the primary customer service or patient satisfaction survey that we use in healthcare. When we looked at those scores initially, what we saw was the rating of our hospital and the likelihood to recommend our OB program, while not terrible, wasn't as great as we wanted it to be. So when we started this out back in around January of 2016, our hospital rating just for our OB or our maternity unit was hovering around the 53rd percentile. And so we started to talk about what were the reasons behind that. One thing we should mention about jumping into solutions is before you do that, just knee-jerk reaction to a metric and saying, oh, we should do this or that, probably I wouldn't recommend it. What we try to do is then we try to go out to the community, talk to all those practices that I mentioned earlier, and try to figure out, like, what's the disconnect? Why, even though we're providing a good experience, we had good ratings for our nurses, we had good ratings kind of overall for their OB experience, but why the disconnect around the rating? Why the disconnect around some stuff around care transitions and leaving the hospital? And what we found through message boards, through social media, through discussions with the various OBGYN practices that were affiliated with us, was there was a tremendous amount of confusion as to what to expect when those moms all kind of converged in the hospital and came in for their delivery. And we would get either Press Ganey feedback or social media feedback that my OBGYN told me one thing, but then when I arrived at the hospital, that wasn't the experience that I expected or was communicated to me. And so the word of mouth around that we were reading was people seem to be frustrated, not by the actual delivery experience of the postpartum, but just the alignment of what they were hearing versus what they were experiencing. So we threw around some ideas, and at one of the meetings, I believe it was with a group of nurses and postpartum and some of the office staff across the OBGYN landscape here, was what if we tried to consolidate everything into an app?
So tell me a little bit about what actually went into this app and why, based on your research.
You know, obviously, because we had all those affiliated OBGYN practices, we had a bunch of South Shore Hospital branded things that we gave to all of the offices to give to the moms. When we looked, though, over time at the utilization of all of those handouts and the references of all those handouts by the patients, a lot of the feedback we got was, yeah, I get it at my intake appointment. A lot of the information is completely irrelevant to me until I'm at 40 weeks, say. Right. So you have this whole span of time between 8 and 40 weeks where papers get lost, stuff gets misplaced, or stuff just gets thrown on the table and doesn't get referenced. And so, again, voice of customer, our patients were telling us, I don't really look at all of your maternity unit information, or when it is time to look at it, I don't know where I put it. It was so long ago, and I've been doing so much to prepare for our new addition or additions to the family that I'm kind of, you know, essentially going in, and my word's not theirs, I'm going in blind because I didn't have time to look through that entire packet, or I just forgot.
Right.
And so our solution, what we said basically with our app, is we have obviously the age range for expectant mothers stays pretty much the same. And so as we went through time and technology, you know, more and more people were on their phones for more time. And so we thought, well, what's a way to reach all these moms regularly try to maybe engage them in more of their prenatal care and make sure that they have all of the information that we're trying to give them or push to them via paper and via all of these printouts. Can we do that in an electronic format so that it's really like on demand when they need it, and it's laid out in a way that makes it easy to access, understandable, and then provides a common experience? Because with the app, the messaging was from the hospital, the branding was from the hospital, but we were giving out the app information at all of those various practices.
Right. How did you use, you know, mobile technology clearly has some advantages over paper. One of the things, you know, research shows that people look at their home screens about 150 times a day where those push notifications come in. How did you use the push notification to align the mom's expectations around what would happen at the hospital?
Yeah, so the way we were going to leverage the technology to reach our moms and their experience, it had a lot to do with alerting them to all of the things that we had to offer that would, again, bring back that experience and create that commonality. All the pregnancy classes that we offer are offered to all of our moms across all of the practices. So again, any touch point that we had to create, to bring that unification together around the messaging, whether it was a class, whether it was presenting our midwives program, whether it was early labor preparation and different tips and techniques for that, tours, and to be able to see our maternity unit. So again, to get familiarity with what that experience would be and how they, you know, would walk through our process. We found that if we put that into the electronic format, and then when class times or dates change, we would send push notifications and say, hey, we have a new class. We have a prenatal aquatics class. So we'd send a push notification out for that. And again, it was a way for us to reach everybody at once, all of the expectant moms that had downloaded the app. It was a way to reach everybody at once and say, hey, here's another thing that, again, a communal thing where we can all come together, talk about something around prenatal care, and then also give the message over and over about what was going to happen at the hospital, where to check in, what was going to go on during your labor experience, all of the different things that go into that. We utilized all of those different touch points to be able to, again, create a more unified experience.
Exactly. So how did this program end up turning out for you from a metric perspective?
We were more successful than we expected, to be honest with you, David. We thought we would move the metrics a few percentile points kind of, you know, through each quarter. What we found is, and again, I should preface this by saying I can't say that it is all attributable to one specific thing. So right. What I don't want to do is oversell like this one tech piece of tech or this one movement that suddenly was just like the miracle that moved us to the top. I think where the app helped a lot that's not measured is the unification of messaging amongst the staff and our community OBGYN physicians and teams. So not only did we have the direct effort to unify our patients' experience, but in developing the app, developing the materials, making patients aware of that, engaging the office staff in, you know, the app proliferation, what we saw is over time as our scores started to increase in a positive way and much, much more than we originally expected. So we went really from the 53rd percentile back in 2016 all the way up at one point to the 85th percentile, I believe. And now we've balanced out around the 82nd percentile overall. We had a lot of feedback that what to expect when people went home or where moms and babies were discharged, they were nervous about their transition to home. And that's one of the main questions because it asks a lot about, are you clear about your meds? Do you have the information you need when you go home? And we talked to all of our postpartum nurses and say, what are the questions you're getting? What are the common concerns? What are the common fears when you discharge patients? And we incorporated that into its own tab in our app, and then utilized that tool for the postpartum nurses to be able to direct patients to that part of the app so that we could focus on their transitions to home. And we saw that score amazingly went from the 43rd percentile all the way up to the 72nd. In that same time frame. So, you know, this again is over about 2.5 years or so of data. But when you look at our curves and our improvement, we saw a steady increase to the point where I don't know that we could have increased any higher. Obviously, there's always room for improvement. I shouldn't say that as a performance improvement guy, but we've really stabilized well above where we started.
How generalizable do you think these results would be to another healthcare system, both the type that you are, where you've got a lot of independent provider practices, as well as maybe a system that where more of the OB practices are owned? Like, how do you see these results being generalizable?
Yeah, I mean, I think the overall factors around communication and consistency, I think those are generalizable regardless of what service line you're in. We were able to take the successes that we saw with the pregnancy app and leverage those into other service lines. We had a fledgling bariatrics program that we were looking to promote. Right. We have some efforts around family integrated care in our neonatal intensive care unit that we were looking to advance. And so when you look at those three, they're very, very different kind of areas. But the approach, the commonality is that you have one single repository for whatever your program's information is. You have a way to reach patients by pinging them or sending a push notification. And you have a way for patients together to have kind of one experience regardless of where they're coming from or what they're doing. I think where you have to be careful is, again, what are you trying to improve? You need to figure out what exactly your customer or is, you know, in this case, your patients are saying and what they're asking for. There's a million apps out there for pregnancy, more than I can count on two hands. And when you look at them, they're all, you know, pretty much the same because, again, we approach, you know, across the continuum right. around pregnancy and prenatal care, we approach it the same. But what is your market or area or group of people trying to tell you they need?
You mentioned you launched the app and then you added some things to it. So what's the value of being able to modify based on initial results?
Yeah, so I think one of the cool things about working with the team that we did at Mobilesmith and the way that the app was laid out was it was very dynamic. So one, it enabled us to get to market really quick because we didn't have to worry that if we put something that it was set in stone, that made it really easy for us, one, to launch. But then as you start to get feedback from patients and as needs change, as the times change, we were able to really just kind of go in there, tweak some things, change some of the text, maybe add a piece of in the app that we didn't have in there or didn't see that we needed at first. And the flexibility of the platform really allowed us to do that, you know, pretty much unfettered and also very seamless. Like we, you know, our patients and families, it was really like unnoticeable to them because it would change dynamically and we could change that in real time and be able to make sure that our message was always up to date without really any hassle. One of the things I think healthcare organizations look for is, can we just get this app and then forget it? And I think that's probably not, or at least in our experience, not the way you want to go. You want to have something that is adaptable, that makes adding and subtracting. So if you have stuff that people aren't using, you get feedback that says, you know, this page or this bit of content no one's really interested in, that enables you to pare it down. And again, it's all about focus on the message and really tightening that up to what you want the experience to be for your patients and families.
So a couple other things. You mentioned that you also then took this same mindset around the OB service line, OBGYN service line, and then you moved that over to the bariatrics service line. What were the goals of that program?
Sure, yeah. The bariatric program for us was a brand new program. We had a surgeon who was very interested and starting that up here. We had a market demand for it and a need. We had patients giving us feedback that was something that they were interested in. It was really the metrics around that were just trying to essentially, I mean, it's an elective program, right? A lot of times, I mean, there can be medical reasons for it, but most of the time it's patients seeking an elective surgery with something that they want to do around weight loss. And so because there were only 11 or so miles from Boston, as I mentioned kind of in the intro, even though there's a lot of traffic and maybe barriers to getting up there, there's also a lot of competition when it comes to elective surgery. And so when you're growing a program or just starting a program, we wanted to find as many ways as we could to reach, you know, potential patients that would be interested in our service. The goals for the app there were basically to just get interest and get people to know about our program and what we had to offer, It was also our surgeon wanted decided to host informational sessions to talk about what the pathway looked like, you know, whether or not you qualified, depending on what, you know, kind of your overall vital signs were and your BMI, et cetera, all the things that go into, I can't get into all of them. I'm not a doctor. Right. But basically all the different criteria that would qualify you to be in the to have bariatric surgery. We really just wanted to get that message out there, increase the participation in those information sessions, and then see that translate into eventually, hopefully, surgeries for patients across our communities and across the South Shore.
Now, one of the things is, my understanding is you're actually looking at some new technologies around the bariatrics, some of our perioperative 2.0 types of capabilities. What are you excited about in terms of now what you can do with the bariatrics program as a result of these new technologies? For example, being able to tie it into your Epic EMR.
That is critical for us, and I'm really, really excited about it because of the connection to the EMR. And that's very specific, but what that's going to allow us to do really now, future metrics, is talk about outcomes and start to look at the patient's health. And again, why are we here? We're here to serve patients and families across our community, you know, try to improve their wellness and well-being. And so it's hard to track that on some of our older type of technologies because we didn't have that integration into the EMR. Whereas with the PERI, we're going to be able to see exactly like what's going on with that patient post-op. How did they do with their diet? Were they able to manage their weight down? Were they able to manage all of the potential side effects or any of the challenges that may come up? But then when you talk about patient experience, I mean, you have the ability to, you know, virtually chat and ask questions. And I think having something, you know, a very, very user-friendly guide all the way throughout your journey from the start when you say, hey, you know, this bariatrics thing might be for me, all the way to what do I eat on post-op day 7, I think that's where PERI is really going to help us out a lot. And I'm really excited to see what the kind of the next phase brings with that integration.
In the first phase, sort of the PERI 1.0, it's the removing the frustrations that then make HCAP scores, you know, like satisfaction is the opposite of frustration. So you remove those frustrations.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Yep. And then you shot the satisfaction up. Now you've got anxiety. And there's a strong correlation between anxiety and a number of negative outcomes, whether it's deciding not to go through with the surgery or even the ability to heal more quickly. You know, anxiety it needs to be reduced. So I appreciate that. One thing I'll ask you is, how do you think that, you know, the people that you have in place that are scheduling or doing patient care coordination, how do you think they'll like, or even the doctors themselves, being able to see in real time through the EMR what the patients are and aren't doing with the app? How do you think that can improve things?
I think it can really help kind of customize care for each individual patient and experience without a huge amount of effort. To give you an idea, we do around 4 to 6 surgeries now a week almost, you know, sometimes less, sometimes more. But if you average it out over a month, I would say probably, you know, 12 or so surgeries a month, you multiply that all out and suddenly you have a lot of patients that you have to kind of keep tabs on and worry about. And the old way of doing things would be that you would have to follow up and constantly watch the medical record and figure out what's going on with the patient, how they're doing. Whereas what I'd like to see, or what I think we're going to have with the app, is a lot of that information at your fingertips, where you can kind of create dashboards and tracking for recovery and making sure that patient again gets back to living a well life and a good life and back into the community.
So a lot of times people tell me that in healthcare, digital solutions aren't great because of an older population associated with healthcare in general, and that they're not very tech savvy. So they're always worried about the patients rejecting the digital program.
Yeah.
What did you find? Yeah. Was it a patient issue?
Yeah, no. Well, our patient, again, the age range for, you know, moms is anywhere between 13, you know, 12 to 13, all the way up to, you know, early mid 40s. The cool part about that group is that with the generations and the way they're set up, like they're all into tech and they all have phones. And so the uptake for them was relatively easy. If anything, they were like, thank you for not giving me a pile of papers that I'm going to circular file, aka the trash, as soon as I get home, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. They actually gave feedback that they really liked the electronic solution. Where we had a little bit of challenge was changing the behaviors at the offices.
Right.
Because part of the interaction or the face-to-face interaction with expectant moms and the intake nurses was, I feel like if I'm handing you a bunch of information, that I'm giving you something as part of this visit. So we literally had to talk to the nursing staffs and the intake nurses, and again, engaging the community OBGYN practices and say, look, just give them this card. You can, instead of spending the time handing them tactile info, take those few minutes and say, I can show you how to load the app on your phone while you're right here, show you a few of the things it has to offer, and then you'll have that throughout your prenatal experience. We don't have to go back to any of the pamphlets or paper that I normally would give. So eventually it became value add for everybody, but the toughest sell was some of the physicians that had been practicing a long time and some of the nurses.
So the patients were cool with it. They wanted it, but the difficulty that you had really was changing the behavior, the attitudes of the providers.
You know, I thought everybody in the offices would be like, thank God we don't have to process all of those, you know, 14-page booklets on your maternity unit anymore. And we had people going, no, we like processing those. And I was like, well, we're moving. So it was a pleasant persistence where we over time just said, okay, we're going to start to move on. You know, we've proven this out. We're getting really good feedback. So we're just going to have this be our primary way of getting information to all of our patients. Continue to reinforce the value and continue to when you make it about the patients and families, all of the other stuff, the personal feelings, the politics, get out of the way.
Thanks for joining us today. We hope that we've improved your aptitude. Come back next month, where we'll interview Carrie Lynn Morris, the Chief Technology Officer at Microsoft Health. And we'll learn how some of the largest health systems are using apps to deliver AI-enabled remote patient monitoring to drive significant improvements in healthcare outcomes.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Healthcare Aptitude, sponsored by Mobile Smith Health. Be sure to tune in weekdays at 7 a.m., 3 p.m., and 11 p.m. Eastern Time on Healthcare Now Radio.